to offer you this lesson from Unity of the Keys Spiritual Center.
Thank you for inviting me back. And thank you for adding that piece of music. This piece of music was written about a year ago after, and I should have remembered, one of the school shootings. And so this song means a lot to me, and it speaks truly to my heart. Palm Sunday, so hold on, we're going to talk about a parade. So we had a great parade yesterday. There were so many people there. And I don't want you to, you know, think too much about that parade and what I'm talking about. I'm not sure that they mix well together, if you know what I mean. I'm not even going to give the disclaimer because everybody's been so nice and they just see, just be who you are, Steve, and I'm going to be. So I'm much more relaxed this time for whatever reason. Well, yes, I felt that as soon as I came in. It's great. And the opening song, I circled it. I like that. I just like that. Whoever composed that or wrote that, you did? I was right, yeah. You were supposed to nod when I was pointing at you. That was beautiful. That's beautiful. I have two short readings today. The first one is what I consider a contemporary reading, and the second one is the traditional reading for the day of Palm Sunday from the Gospel of Matthew. So I'll read the contemporary one first. And these are the readings we had this morning over across the street over there. So I will wear black to the garden party. I will not stand to sing with the choir. I will rain on the parade and embarrass the host and ruin the photo op. The cause of justice only rarely calls on us to do heroic acts. It frequently asks us to step out of line. When the larger society begins to look the other way, allowing oppression to grow like weeds in shadows, faith tells us to refuse to go along, to point to the problem as openly as we can, to name the issue, to be inconvenient, irritating, irretractable until something is done. We do not need to be martyrs. We only need to be unpopular. That's a small price to pay for what we know is right. And so from the gospel, the traditional Palm Sunday reading is from Matthew. When they came near Jerusalem, they had reached out to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophets, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put their cloaks on them. He sat upon them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." I feel honored I have a name tag. No, it's okay. That's for you. I brought that for you. I brought her a little palm cross. Yes. We have history. Who'd I say that to? We have history. Oh, one of these waters is mine, right?
Yeah, but I didn't sip anything.
Oh, I'll take, okay. Thank you. One spring in Jerusalem, two parties marched into the city. And one spring, 2,000 years later, in Knoxville, Tennessee, two groups held rallies on opposite sides of the street. On the one side of the street were people in white robes with pointy little hoods and hats, with hate in their heart, holding signs with hateful slogans and racial slurs. White power, they screamed. White power. On the other side of the street gathered a group of clowns. This is a true story. I'm telling you, this is a true story. Everyday people, mostly, not professional performers. They wore those squeaky noses and they had the painted face and they walked around on stilts and rode unicycles. Most of us are old enough to know what a unicycle is. As the KKK and the neo-Nazis on the other side of the street began to chant, the clowns put their hands to their ears and they started to listen oh so carefully. Well, they pulled out paper bags and they began to chant their own. White flower. White flower. They got these bags, they ripped open the bags, all-purpose flour, and they start tossing white flour into the air. This is truly a real story. A real event. They lobbed handfuls at each other, shouting white flour, until their chanting just overpowered the other side, and the other side just kind of went shoop. Well, after a while, the KKK began to chant again. And so the clowns strained to listen again. Oh, they exclaimed, white flowers. So reinforcements just happened to arrive full of white flowers, bouquets. The clowns started to give out flowers to all of those there screaming, white flowers. The afternoon continued, and the third thing they did is actually my favorite. They all donned wedding dresses. Guess what they chanted? Wife power. Wife power. The clowns vastly outnumbered the KKK protesters, and their joyful noise all but drowned out the hate coming from the other side of the street. It calls to mind for me the scripture and the contemporary reading today which we celebrate. 2,000 years earlier, Jesus gathered his disciples just outside Jerusalem. They and the crowds who rushed to greet them would have known well that the tradition of the Roman imperial parades, as colonizers marched into colonized cities in great displays of military might that kept them subject to state violence, starvation taxes, just to enhance the grandeur of Rome. These dusty peasants would have known of the tradition of victory parades where Roman armies would march home bearing the spoils of war, the riches they took from other territories, holy articles that they sacked from sanctuaries, vanquished kings and queens and leaders chained and humiliated on display to demonstrate to everyone the mighty rule of Rome. The Galileans and the Judeans knew about the parades Rome liked to hold. So they held their own parade. They borrowed a donkey, and if you believe the text in Matthew, also a colt. And they lifted Jesus up onto this unlikely steed. The charismatic, nomadic rabbi paraded into Jerusalem riding a humble beast of burden as the crowds greeted him like a victorious king. Hosanna, they shouted, which means literally, please save us. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. What the crowd did that day was risky. In a colonized, occupied city, mere days before a festival that celebrates God's liberating the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt, they held a victory parade for a peasant king. To me, that's visionary. It was playful, maybe. It was silly. It was subversive, and it was joyful. Living under the constant threat of state violence, they thumbed their nose at the empire, and they threw a parade to ridicule the powers that be, and they proclaimed the mighty power of God. Biblical scholar Walter Wink speaks about the way of Jesus as a third way of responding to violence and conflict, injustice, and oppression. The two ways we often are inclined to respond to things that are going wrong or oppression or evil or whatever, chaos, are fight or flight. We know what fight looks like, an armed revolt, or a rebellion, revenge, tit for tat. On the other hand, there is flight. We get ourselves out of the situation, or we retreat from the conflict passively. We submiss, or we comply. Usually, it's hard to imagine any other options. But when you read about this individual, this rabbi, this teacher, Jesus, you see his teachings and his actions point toward a different path. And it's not a path between fight and flight. To me, and for me, it's a path that is utterly different from the two. Walter Wink describes that third way as a path of creative, subversive, and resistance. A path that seizes the moral high ground, that imaginatively breaks the cycle of violence. A path that exposes injustice and makes oppressors appear ridiculous. That third way is what Jesus and his followers chose 2,000 years ago as the crowds waved palms and cried Hosanna, and Jesus paraded into the city on a donkey. The third way is what the clowns chose to do when they gathered across the street from the KKK rally and chanted, white flower, white flowers, wife power. On that day in Knoxville and on that day in Jerusalem, everyday people responded to hatred with a subversive playfulness that steals the spotlight from the powers of chaos, injustice, and oppression. Jesus and his followers could have chosen flight. They could have steered well clear of Jerusalem, avoiding the powers. They could have chose to fight as well, armed insurrection against their colonizers. But instead, they chose the third way, mocking the Roman parades with a parade of their own, declaring that God's true power comes humbly, and in this case, riding a donkey. As lighthearted and whimsical as this third way of Jesus might seem, though, it's much harder than it looks. The ways of fight and flight are primal. Even the disciples who sat at Jesus' feet turned automatically to fight or flight when they were faced with violence or terror. Fight and flight are instinctual. They're deeply ingrained ways of reacting to conflict and danger, and the rush of adrenaline that comes with the sense of a threat. And we know that psychologists tell us that that in the face of danger, our very physiology changes. The parts of our brain that are responsible for reasoning and creativity show less activity. As our heart rate races and our body braces for conflict. The third way, the creative, non-violent way, does not come so easy. It's something that we have to learn, something to practice. I imagine that the disciples, those people in the crowd that were gathered that day, anxiously holding their stomachs maybe because they were just a-churning. I imagine their hands were clutched around those palm branches, damp and sweaty, and that their voice cracked and quivered with fear as they cried, "Hosanna." They knew the risks they took when they threw a victory rally for a miraculous healer from Galilee who proclaimed God blessed the poor, the meek, the peacemakers, where he stood and said, all people have sacred value. All people have sacred value. And yet, there they were. They overcome their own instincts to avoid danger or face violence with violence, and they chose something else. They chose the way of God. It might never come naturally to us to choose Christ's way or the rabbi's way of compassionate, creative resistance. It might never come naturally for us to find that third way that honors the humanity of oppressed and oppressors, inviting reflection and reconciliation and renewal. And yet, as seekers, as followers, if you think about it, the followers have managed to do it over and over again throughout the centuries. From the Palm Sunday parade back 2,000 years ago to that clown rally just last year in Knoxville to a year ago down Duval Street for the Women's March, or just yesterday for Marching for Our Lives. Did you know, I found this out this morning, that those students that were organizing and getting this parade, you know, on the news and stuff like that are paid actors? That's what was reported. Can you believe? Paid actors. And that, it gets better, that no one really died at that school. It's fake news. This is what is being reported out there. My Facebook page, if anybody's a friend or looks at my Facebook page, knows I just kind of put positive things out there all the time, but I put the poster of the rally. Somebody posted on my Facebook page that this was all fake news, and none of these kids died at the school. So, those of you who know me probably know I did something. I deleted her. Within 1 minute, she put it back on my page. So I deleted it again. I said, oh, please, a third time. But she didn't. God's, I get sidetracked. It makes me so upset. But you know, the kids are teaching us old people. They really are. My prayer, my life, I pray that they will continue the fight. We continue the fight. Well, anyway, back to the last couple paragraphs, because I know I'm on a time schedule here. And she goes like this if I'm running over. But I've never run over, right?
No,
I never run over. God's invitation to us today and every day is to imagine that how it would be like if we let the Spirit, the light, God, whatever you understand God to be, if we could let that imbue creativity and mischief and joy into the most conflict-ridden places of our hearts and our lives. God's invitation to us is to breathe deeply and let God's peace wash over us and find a way to walk that third path in our daily lives, in our life as a church, and in our wider world. God's promise to us is that we will never walk this path alone. When we breathe and pray, and even in the midst of our anxiety, choose to be imaginative and compassionate and joyful, we do so with the Spirit, or with the light, carrying us along. We walk that path with clowns and disciples and donkeys and civil rights marchers and workers. We walk that path with students and teachers and parents. And we walk that path with those who seek peace and justice. And it is a path that leads to the communion and the community of God. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the good news for today. Amen.